This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. You know I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday. We like talking about issues that are important to your life and your faith. You know what those issues are. I do not, but I am wide open to hear about it. So I do invite you to give us a call here. I've got a toll-free number for you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. It is a toll-free number for you here in North America. If you're outside of North America, we have a number for you too. Simply use this one, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply get on out there and use the chat feature at either one of those two sites and put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. I'll be able to talk about it. Do let us know who you are and where you are and how you're listening if it's not through one of those two social media outlets. Additionally, you can text your question to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Do put in your question and comment. Also, let us know who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. And do know that message and data rates may apply that way. You know, I want to tell you about something really, really neat that we offer through Women of Grace. And of course, I'm always inviting you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. And you can sign up for this. This is free. It comes in your mailbox every day. As I like to say, would you like to receive some good news in your email box? Well, I hope so. We put out Grace Lines every day. We have been doing this for, oh, gracious sakes, I can't even tell you how many years. It's into the decades at this point in time. But they're wonderful, and they're beautifully done. And it's a quote from a saint or something from Scripture or something from the teachings of the church, plus a question for reflection. And they're free. All you have to do is sign up for them, and they'll come every day to your email box. They're lovely. So I thought I'd read you today. So there's a lovely little picture of Saint Thérèse Lisieux right there in the Grace Line. She looks darling. I'm thinking she's probably somewhere around, I'm going to say, you know, let's see. She went into the convent when she was like 14, 15 years old. So she's probably around 13 here. She looks like she's an adolescent. She's darling, as we well know. She's so precious. And this is the quotation. It says, "If a little flower could speak, it seems to me that it will tell us quite simply all that God has done for it without hiding any of its gifts. It would not, under the pretext of humility, say that it was not pretty." Let me read that again. "If a little flower could speak, it seems to me that it would tell us quite simply all that God has done for it without hiding any of its gifts. It would not, under the pretext of humility, say that it was not pretty." And that's delightful because, as we well know, St. Thérèse of Lisieux is known as the little flower because she said she wanted to be a little flower in the garden of the Lord, right? I don't think that she ascribed that title to herself. I do believe that that was a title that her sister gave her. But that's the quotation. Now, here's the reflection. Here's for you to really think about through the course of the day. It says, "In the little way," capital L, capital W, referencing a spiritual way of life, "in the little way, everything is relative. If the smallest flower is the best smallest flower it can be, it is just as good as the beautiful rose that is the best rose it could be. Do I understand this and realize that I can be just as magnificent as the rose if I'm the best pansy or violet that I can be? Does this help me to accept myself more and to appreciate the gifts God has given me rather than seeing only my deficiency and putting myself down?" You know, that's a really good question to ask, isn't it? And I think that there's two you know, attitudes of heart, I think, that come into play here. The first, the little saint tells us about. She talks about the pretext of humility. What is true humility? True humility is admitting who we are, who it is that God's created us to be, with everything about us that defines us. That would be the way in which he's created us to be through our appearance. It would be the way in which he's created us to be through our mannerisms. It would be the way in which he's created us to be in our gifts and in our talents, in our natural dispositions of heart, right? Always striving for perfection, but nonetheless recognizing and realizing that we are indeed created in the image and likeness of God, and applauding him, thanking him for those ways in which we see his image and likeness being reflected in us, right? So that's the first thing. The pretext of humility or false humility, on the other hand, says, I have nothing to offer. I am nothing. I have no gifts. I have no talents. I am not comely. You know, there is nothing about me that is worthy. That doesn't come from the Lord. That does not come from the Lord. To say that about ourselves is actually a repudiation of the reality of the fact that God has created us in his image and in his likeness. I'm not saying that we always conform to that. We don't. We are sinful. And so we commit sin. We are less than perfect. So therefore we have imperfections. We are less than strong in all areas. So therefore we have weaknesses, right? But to say that we're unworthy, to say that we're worthless, to pander to that kind of a notion is really to make friends with the diabolical tongue of the evil one. We don't want to do that. And neither do we want to use that as a way to seek compliments. Have you ever been in that situation where somebody says, oh, I can't do anything. I don't do anything. They've just done a great job at something, right? Maybe they've just put on the best church bazaar ever. And you say, you did such a good job. And they say, oh, I really could have done better. It was really nothing. That is false humility. If you did a good job, say thank you very much. Give praise and glory to God that he's given you the capacity to do so, and then move on. That's true humility. The other point that I want to make in reference to this has to do with competition. Sometimes we fail to see the gift that we have because we're comparing ourselves to others. In the case of the flowers in the garden and our reflection today, you know, I don't think that the pansy, well, let me just say, if you know, a little bit of assigning, you know, human qualities to inanimate things in the sense of not being other human persons. You know, if the pansy were to look at the rose and say, oh, I wish I was a rose. The rose is so glorious. I'm just this poor little miserable pansy. Or the violet did the same thing. Well, that would be an affront to God, who's made the pansy very special, who's made that particular pansy irrepeatable. There's not another pansy like that, never will be. And the same for the violet. But when we compare ourselves to others and envy their gifts, their talents, their attributes, then we fail to acknowledge what God has done for us. And that hurts God's heart, because in some way we are reflecting his divine image. In some way, he has endowed us with a characteristic that is one of his own attributes, or reflects one of his attributes. So, you know, what a lot to think about with regard to this one grace line for today. And you can receive a grace line every day by simply getting out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, and signing up for it. No fee. Just a beautiful, beautiful quote from a saint or from church documents or from the scripture with a reflection to help us grow in that abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ. 833-288-EWTN. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Encouraging you to give us a call here. The phone lines are open, and Matthew Gubensky is really eager to answer those phones. And I am really eager to talk with you. So take advantage of the opportunity. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can reach us today. As I say, it's toll free for you right here in North America. Of course, we also do have the option for you to leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Just use the chat feature at either one of those two places and put in your question or your comment, your insight, your inspiration, or your word of encouragement. Pedro Quiles will get it retrieved up on the board. I can address it. We'll do the same thing if you choose to text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening. And do know that message and data rates, may apply if you choose to use that option. Do want to let you know about some really good news. I am so looking forward to October the 3rd and the 4th. I am going to be in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and I am going to be at St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church. They are hosting a Women of Grace event. Boy, oh boy, is it going to be nice. I just can't, one of the things that I so love is getting out and about and meeting all of you. It fills my heart with such joy. There is something that God does in these encounters. You know, when we come with a heart ready to receive, something of the God life is imparted between the two of us, right? I receive, you receive, we receive from each other. The whole group receives, I receive from the whole group. It's just a glorious thing. And I love it. I mean, this is what the mystical body of Christ is meant to be about. It's kind of like upper room experiences, right? We are gathered there with expectant faith and boom, the Holy Spirit comes, right? And all of heaven shows up. It's just a marvelous thing. So I'm hoping that you can join me there at St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church the evening of October 3rd, running through Saturday, October the 4th. We're going to have a beautiful day. We're going to be considering the strength that comes to us by way of the pierced heart of our Blessed Lady. That's a very Lenten theme. Well, you know what? No, this is a forever theme because, our Blessed Mother, what is the idea of these dolors? Well, one of the ideas of these dolors or these sufferings of Our Lady's heart is that her heart is opened up so that the secret thoughts of many might be laid bare. Yeah. I mean, that is Simeon's prophecy. And he's telling Our Lady at that moment, that Jesus is meant for the rising and the falling of many. And he's basically predicting his passion. And he says, and a sword will pierce your own heart, that the secret thoughts of many might be laid bare. And so, throughout the history of the church, tradition shows us these seven dolors, these seven main sufferings of Our Lady. Were those sufferings simply diminished to seven? Of course not. But those seven are representative of all of the rest, and they do express or typify those most difficult, most painful, most sorrowful sufferings of Our Blessed Lady. But what about them? Well, I mean, they also tell us, look, Our Lady's heart is opened for you. All of the gifts that God has given Our Blessed Mother, the graces that she knew, the charisms, she wants to share with you. All that God has gifted her with, she wants to gift you with. That's what St. Louis de Montfort tells us. There is absolutely no question about that reality. These dolors represent Our Lady's sufferings indeed, but they also represent a way into that Immaculate Heart of Our Lady to be able to, absorb, to accept, to allow in to our own being all of that maternal beatitude that she wants for us to know. And we're going to talk about this in fuller and greater detail, but we're also going to come to an understanding of how we can do this. What's the practical application of that? What is the way in? How do we appropriate that? How do we allow this to really become prime movers in our life? Because what Our Lady is giving, is distributing to us by way of her own Immaculate Heart, is what is in the Sacred Heart of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time many years ago, I've probably shared this with you before, so indulge me once again if you've heard it. But I remember I was at an event, and it was on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This was many years ago. I was one of the speakers. And so we were talking about the Sacred Heart. And so the emphasis was there. And I remember I went before the Blessed Sacrament, and I said, Lord, you have to help me sort through something. I love you, and I love your most Sacred Heart. And I had beautiful, beautiful moments in prayer with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I said, but then also, you gift us with the Immaculate Heart of your mother. And sometimes, Lord, in my poverty and my lack of understanding, I don't know, should I be praying to the Sacred Heart, your Sacred Heart? Should I be praying to her Immaculate Heart? I don't know if you were ever on the horns of such a dilemma, but I found myself there and I was confused. And of course, the evil one, you know, he is the father of confusion, the father of lies. So he was getting in there and he was doing a number on me. So I went to Jesus. And so I'm sitting there, I'm talking with Jesus, and way down deep in the bottom of my heart, where St. Francis de Sales says, we hear the voice of God, I heard Jesus say to me, my daughter, do you not understand that my heart and my mother's heart are one? Oh, my goodness. Even recounting those words to you today, my eyes fill with tears. It was such a graced moment. And I got to tell you, it was like the peace of heaven, like the glory of God came down. I don't know if you've ever felt the weight of glory. I felt it just a couple of times in my life. But the weight of glory came down. And I said, of course, Lord, when I am honoring the Immaculate Heart of your mother, I'm honoring your Sacred Heart. And when I am honoring your Sacred Heart, I am honoring the Immaculate Heart of your mother. I'll tell you one more little ditty. I mentioned to you there that, you know, I just, you know, have a devotion to the Sacred Heart. I have a devotion to the Immaculate Heart, and our Lord cleared up the confusion for me there. But I remember one other time I was sitting in adoration, and I said to the Lord, I was thinking about the beloved disciple, right? And so my name is Johnette, as you know. And so my patron saints, I have two patron saints, the two Johns. And the two Johns for me are John the Baptist and John the Beloved Disciple. And I was thinking about St. John the Beloved Disciple at this moment. And I was thinking about that moment when he laid his head against the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper. And I said to the Lord, I said, oh Lord, I would just love to rest my head against your most Sacred Heart. And the Lord said, my daughter, do you know what surrounds my Sacred Heart? And I said, yes, Lord, your crown of thorns. And he said, should you lay your head against my most Sacred Heart, you know, of course, that you will be pierced by those thorns as I was. Isn't that beautiful to think about? And I said, that's okay. That's okay, Lord, to share in your sufferings. That is okay. So, you know, these mysteries of faith, golly gee, you know, they're not to be just sloughed over, right? They're not. No. They're meant to be. They're meant to become so much a part of us that they are a lived expression in us, and when that begins to happen, great things begin to happen. Grace flows through us. Grace flows from us. And grace transforms the world. So, you know, when we're talking about this pierced heart of Our Lady, you know, what is Our Lady giving us? She's giving us what she has. What does she have? What does she have? She has the fullness of grace. What is grace? It's a participation in the divine life. So when we talk about Our Lady giving us from her heart, what is she giving us? What is she offering us? She's offering us participation in the divine life. Is she the divine life? No. But she's a vessel of the divine life. Her heart is a vessel of the divine life. And she seeks to pour that out upon us. And you see, and when we get that, and when we realize that that's what grace is, and when we are in a state of grace, and when we give fiat to the Lord, then we pour it out too. We pour it out. We pour it out in all of the ways in which the Lord gives us opportunity. And some of those opportunities come through our joys, but lots of them come through our sufferings too. Right? So, I don't know. I'm inviting you to join me for this day, but now I went off on this tangent. But all of that being said, we're going to be talking about these mysteries. We're going to be talking about these things. We're going to be learning how this happens. We're going to be talking about how it is that, we can open ourselves wide to receive, but also then in turn become what Our Lady is. Our heart is not going to be immaculate as hers is, but nonetheless, to the extent that the God life lives in us, our life is holy. Our heart is holy. And that holiness can be expressed through us. And this is the solution. This is the solution to all of the ills that affect us and inflict us today in the culture in which we live. You and me, it's all of us together. God wants to use us in this great enterprise of bringing and being, by way of bringing, being a sign that points to salvation and actually becomes a conduit of it in the world. That's really remarkable. It really, really is. So get on out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Join us October 3rd. Join us October 4th. Learn these truths. Learn these things of the spiritual life. I am so confident that Our Lady and her spouse, the Holy Spirit, are going to be there tutoring all of us together in this school of Mary that is going to happen on that day. I am so looking forward to it. I am so looking forward to being with you, coming to a deeper understanding of the intimacy of the two hearts, learning how it is that we can walk, in the two hearts with our Lord and our Lady, learning what fiat is truly all about. There's going to be so many things we're going to talk about. So get on out there, sign up, join us. I'm looking forward to it. Even as I'm sitting here today, the Lord gives opportunity for us to grow from what it is that he wants us to know. I grow every day just by being with you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. We have time to go to the phone lines, and we've got Rose with us, and I'm excited about it. And I am looking very much forward to being with you. Do call and join Rose. Rose is a first-time caller out there in San Antonio, Texas, and she is listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Ringing my bell for Rose, ringing my bell for San Antonio, and ringing my bell for Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Rose.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Jeanette, I listen to you as often as I can for years, and I love listening to you. I get such good advice from you. And that is the reason that I'm calling you today.
Okay, good.
I have my youngest daughter. She's in her late 30s. She's dating a man. And we are Catholic from many generations. We're obviously Catholic in our home. We get together to pray the rosary together. But this man she's dating now, his wife died. And he's a Jehovah's Witness. And it's really bothering me. My daughter tells me, it'll never happen, Mom. I would never do that. But I see little things. Last year, we've always decorated all the way, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. She wouldn't really do much decorating. We didn't bring out much of anything. And I told her later, I would like for him to get to know the family. I have other sons-in-law, and they all like to come over to eat. They like my cooking.
Yeah.
And I would like for him to be that way, too. And she said, Mom, it's just not going to be like that, that he'll come to the house. You know, I have the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, a crucifix. Like I said, very obviously a Catholic home. She has all her sacraments. Most of my kids do. But I feel, I don't know how to talk to her, and it scares me that I may lose her.
Yeah.
With this man.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that you're going through this, Rose. And I can understand that this is a great concern. There's no question about it. And as we know, the Jehovah Witness is not a Christian religion. They don't look at Jesus in the same way as we look at Jesus. We look at Jesus for who he truly is. And who is he? He is the incarnate God. He is the Word made flesh. They do not see Jesus in that way. They do not ascribe to his divinity. The Jehovah Witness Bible is not the same as ours. And they are very good at quoting scripture passages, but they quote these in isolation without a look at the totality of sacred scripture. And so it's a very flawed perspective of the Bible. It's a very flawed perspective of the New Testament. It's a very flawed perspective of Jesus Christ, and it's a very flawed perspective of the Catholic Church. And they do not celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate any of these holidays, or holy days, obviously. So that becomes very contentious, given the fact that this is the way that your daughter was raised. This is the way in which you would like for her to live her life, for obvious reasons. And this is not only is this, you know, your faith, but it's also the culture of your home. You know, you have wedded together your life and your faith, which is what we're supposed to do. And so it's obvious that your Catholic faith is the fulcrum around which your family operates. It's the locus of operation for your family, to put it in another way. So I can see how this would be quite conflicting for you, and I think that at some point in time, it's going to be quite conflicting to Rose. And this is what happens whenever we put ourselves into the soup. Right, then the soup itself can begin to cling to us. And so she is in this soup by way of this relationship that she's got with this man. She is in the soup of Jehovah Witness discussion. They're very good at proselytizing. They're very good at trying to make converts. So I don't doubt for one moment that she is hearing a lot about the Jehovah Witness, but also hearing a lot against her Catholic faith. Now, I've got to leave it there because you hear that music, but I want you to stay on the line, and I am going to come back, and we will talk about this further on the other side of the break. And friends, it occurs to me that maybe you have had a similar kind of a situation in your own life, and you can give Rose some advice. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, or go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and leave a question for us. Okie dokie, we're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. You just heard those numbers. Let me give them to you again. We've got a toll-free one for you here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. I invite you to use that number to get in touch with us today. Let's have some holy conversation together. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we invite you to use the chat feature at either one of those two sites and put in your question or comment. Your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, we'll get it retrieved up on the board. We will address it. We'll also take a text message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in who you are, where you are, how you're listening. Of course, your question and comment. Get it off to us, and do know that message and data rates may apply. So we have Rose on the phone with us, and Rose is talking with us about her daughter. Her daughter is 30 years of age. She is dating a Jehovah Witness man. He is a widower. She is concerned because her daughter seems to be showing little signs of the fact that her faith, or Catholic faith, could be in jeopardy as a result of this relationship. So we're talking about that. And Rose, I was mentioning to you that the Jehovah Witnesses believe things that are very, very different. I was sharing that their Bible is different. Their beliefs about key elements of the Catholic faith are different. And they really don't care for Catholics. I was sharing with you right before we went to the break that the Jehovah Witnesses are very schooled in proselytizing, very schooled in how to get people to become a Jehovah Witness, to leave their faith and to join their cult. And it is a cult, C-U-L-T. It is not a Christian religion. It is a cult, not occult, but a cult. So what are some of those major differences? First of all, our view of God is very different than their view of God. As Catholics, we believe there is one God who is a triune person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But they don't believe that. They believe that God created Michael the Archangel, who is inferior to God, and that the rest of creation was created by way of him. At a point in time, Michael became man and was named Jesus. So they believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. In addition to that, they believe that the Holy Spirit is God's active force in the world rather than God. We know that the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. There are three persons, one God. The Holy Spirit is one of those persons, not a force, not a life force, not an energy. In addition to that, I say that their Bible is different. It contains 66 books in the Old Testament and New Testament. It follows the same list found in Protestant Bibles. Of course, we have seven additional books, which would include the apocryphal books. We believe in seven sacraments instituted by Christ as signs of God's love for us, and they believe in two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. But they believe that they're symbolic signs, that they are not conveyors of grace. In addition to that, their concept of priesthood is different. They believe that all witnesses are priests. So what do I mean by that? Well, we also believe in the priesthood that we receive by way of baptism. We're all called to be priest, prophet, king. It's the ordinary priesthood. It's the priesthood of the laity. But then we also believe in the ordained or the ministerial priesthood. There's the ecclesial priesthood, which was every baptized Christian. But then there is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He is the high priest, and through the sacrament of ordination, men become in persona Christi. Jesus incorporates them into his one priesthood. They don't believe that. And, you know, we have differences in the way in which we look at salvation, the way in which we look at heaven and hell. They believe that the second coming of Christ is quite different than ours. It's not reconcilable with the Catholic faith, and it's very different. So as I was saying to you earlier, you know, your concern is a justifiable concern. Your daughter is 30. However, you still have influence over her, though you cannot direct and guide her as you could in the same way when she was a young girl. But nonetheless, you can continue to point things out to her. And I think one of the big signs has to do with Christmas. Obviously, this man is never going to join you for Christmas because they do not. What are they celebrating? They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe he's the incarnate God. So they're not going to celebrate that day. They don't celebrate much. So I think that this is probably going to be a problem for your daughter eventually. So what is that going to be? Well, you know, we cannot hold two truths in our mind at the same time. If he is proselytizing her, if he is working on converting her, and he is giving her all of this information, one of two things is going to happen. She's either going to give way to what it is that he's presenting, or she's going to walk away and remain true to her faith. One of the two things will happen. It's going to set up a cognitive dissonance in her. She can't hold both concepts as being true at the same time. It's going to put her into a state of conflict, and it'll go one way or the other. So what do you do as her mother? Well, I think you don't nag. I think nagging could be the worst thing that you could do. I think that if the opportunity presents itself and she brings it up to you and she says, oh, you know, so-and-so was sharing with me that he really believes that, you know, Jesus is the Archangel Michael, and she leaves it there, ask her, well, honey, what do you think? Find out what she's thinking. Get her sharing with you. Well, I don't know, Mom. Yeah, I mean, maybe he's right. Well, gee, honey, let's look at what the Catechism has to say. And you can do that approach. But I would wait for her to bring it up. In the meantime, you can do exactly what it was that St. Monica did. You can pray, you can pray, you can pray, you can pray. Her son, Augustine, was swayed by Manichaeism, got involved in a heresy. Your daughter is in jeopardy of becoming involved in heresy. Monica prayed, you can pray. We know that that worked wonders. So do not despair. That's where the evil one wants you to be. Do not let him twist you up in a knot, but get on your knees, pray, pull out your rosary and pray, 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 pray. We know that the rosary is the spiritual weapon. So we want you to pray the rosary. When I say we, I think it's me and all of heaven and everybody listening. We want for you to pray the rosary because it is a strong defense against the tactics of the evil one. Hopefully, hopefully, she will see clearly and she will come back to the fullness of faith that is hers by way of her baptism in Christ Jesus. So I do hope that that helps you, Rose. Don't despair. Don't despair. You keep praying. Wait for her to lead the way by opening the door for conversation. And don't nag, because I think that that will just, you know, turn her in the opposite direction. I remember one time the Lord said to me when I was trying to help somebody to come back to the faith, the Lord said to me, you know, Janet, if you would get out of the way, this would go so much quicker. I was actually an obstacle to the work that God was trying to do. I was creating a problem. Don't be a problem. All right, Rose, thank you, honey. And I will be tucking you into my rosary today. You can be assured of that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. We've got Claudia with us. She's calling us from California, listening to us via Sirius XM channel 130. She's a first-time caller. We're ringing our bell for her, too. Hi, Claudia.
Hi there.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you. Beautiful day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I was just calling to sort of commiserate with the previous caller whose daughter is struggling with the Jehovah's Witnesses. The same thing happened with my sister. She left after 6 months, but first of all, she was proselytized to by somebody she works with.
Yes.
And she was vulnerable because she's kind of having some mental health struggles. She didn't have a lot of friends at the time. And so, you know, you have this friendly person at work proselytizing, and then she started studying with the Witnesses for like 6 months. And
yes,
it was very distressing. And
yes,
even though she left, mainly because it's not compatible with the culture in our home, as a family, you know, she's been left over with some of those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any solutions about how to deal with it, but it is very distressing.
Yeah, you know, it's very difficult when this happens. Fortunately, she's out of that mix, right? And, you know, oftentimes when we open ourselves up to false ideologies, it takes a while for our mind to adjust and to be thinking according to the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, because these things are very seductive. And there oftentimes are spirits that are attached to these ideologies, and the spirits don't want to leave very quickly. And I'm quite certain that that's the case with her. You should be thrilled that she's gone, but I think it's going to probably be a gentle process of reintegration into the fullness of truth that was once hers. This idea of crucifixes being idolatrous, you know, okay, so the JWs say that about us, but so do the Protestants. You know, they say that, well, we worship statues. We do not worship statues. You know, I made a distinction the other day when a gentleman called in, and he was talking about the bronze serpent that Moses held up. And said, you know, that this seems to be contradictory to the first commandment. Well, you know, that was a sign that was really pointing to Jesus. And he went on to say that. But people oftentimes get confused about these things. So we are not worshiping, and neither was Moses calling the Israelites to worship, worship that bronze serpent that he put on his staff and held up. That was not what that was about. We don't worship statues. The statues remind us of the individual that the statue is a likeness of, whether that's a likeness of our Lord, whether that's a likeness of Our Lady, or one of the saints. And so it's a likeness of that in the same sense that oftentimes we have gold busts of people, right? We've got gold statues of war heroes and gold statues of presidents and we have gold statues of you know, great men in industry. Does that mean we're worshiping those statues? No. If we stand before that statue and recall their deeds, are we worshiping that statue? No. And that's what we're doing as Catholics. We're presenting ourselves before an image in affection, in admiration for the one that statue is a likeness of. And we do one thing more. We will ask for that saint's intercession, or we will ask our Lord for his blessing. And that's perfectly all right to do, but we're not worshiping it. Worship is reserved for God alone. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. If you really go into Catholic theology, what is worship? Worship always involves sacrifice. My husband Jack pointed this out to me not long ago. Worship always involves sacrifice. We go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass and we worship God. When we're singing praises to the Lord, when we're lifting our hearts and mind up to Him, we are praying or we are praising, but we're not worshiping. Worshiping involves sacrifice. And that comes to us all the way back to our Judeo roots, right? And so we see that. And so we see even at the Passover, that's what's happening there. And Jesus is offering himself at the Last Supper. He is the sacrifice. And so there is that. But this idea of crucifixes being idolatrous, or, you know, statues being idolatrous, this is just, it's poppycock. Now, we will hear Protestants say, well, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. You shouldn't have Jesus on the, you shouldn't have the corpus on the crucifix. Well, golly gee, what is the sign of God's love for us? What does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. When he sent his son, what did he send his son to do? He sent his son to die on the cross that we might have everlasting life. So when we look at the crucifix, what are we looking at? We are looking at the representation of God's love for us. We are looking at a representation of that salvific action that brought us eternal life. When we're looking at that crucifix, we are reminded of God's great love for us. And we praise and thank God for his love for us and for the sacrifice that that crucifix depicts. Whether or not you can explain that to her, I don't know. But trying to explain to her that we're not worshiping a crucifix, but it's the depiction, it is basically a representation of God's love for us. It's God's love letter to us. May help her to understand differently. But you see, through the Jehovah Witnesses, she doesn't believe in an incarnate God. And she doesn't believe that that the second person of the Blessed Trinity took flesh, and that is who Jesus is. She believes that St. Michael the Archangel is Jesus. So this is a twisted notion. And if you think about that, it would sort of be illogical for her to think about that being idolatrous, because if she doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then where's the idolatry in having an image of a crucified man on a cross? There's illogic in that. So I don't know, darling. I, you know, the same advice to you that I gave to Rose. I mean, what is your call? You love this. You love your sister. You want her to experience the fullness of truth in this life and to be with the fullness of truth forever. So the deal there is to pray for her, to pray for her, to pray for her. But thank you, Claudia. Thank you. Yeah, you know, this aspect of these cults being very aggressive and very assertive in proselytizing is a true one. And the two cults that I'm referring to here are Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons. You know, we could learn something from their evangelistic zeal. We surely could. I don't know when the last time was you had a Catholic knock on your door and want to talk with you about the faith. I don't think that's ever happened to me. I do know, though, that there are good ministries that, out there that do such things. St. Paul's Street Evangelization is a beautiful ministry that goes up to people on the street, talks with them. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986, is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have holy conversation with you. And I certainly do enjoy hearing from you Monday through Friday right here. We've got Louise with us. She's in Baltimore, Maryland, listening to us via Sirius XM again, station 130. Hi, Louise, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good, good. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
I just saw a movie last night which triggered my memory about, it was Salem's Lot, and they kept, several times in the 1979 movie, they hold up a cross, not a crucifix, a cross, a crucifix, and the devil, the evil spirit, the vampire, and you see it in movies, and the power that these crosses or crucifix has. And even, you know, I have them hanging in my house, the St. Benedict crucifix. Why do they have power? Why do crosses and crucifixes seem to have some kind of actual power to hold back evil?
Okay, that's a very good question, Louise, and let's talk about that. So is it the wood of that crucifix, and is it the plaster of Paris image of Jesus on that cross that has the power? And the answer to that is no. What has the power is the blessing on the cross. So when we have a crucifix blessed, when we have a medal blessed, when we have our rosary blessed, it becomes a sacramental. That sacramental is the blessing of the church, which is the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ through the church that he founded, that is on that article. And the power comes from that. Now, there's also something else about the crucifix, however, that contains a certain efficacy, especially when it relates to the diabolical. And that is that the evil one hates the sign of the cross. He hates it. He hates the cross, he hates the corpus on the cross, and he hates it when you make the sign of the cross. Why? Because it is a reminder of the fact that the triumph has been won, and he is not the triumphant one. It is a constant irritation and aggravation, insult, and affliction to him. So even having a crucifix in the house that is not blessed has the capacity to sicken the evil one. But that power to dispel it in some way, that power to rid it from your premises, that comes by way of the crucifix. So the crucifix obviously is used in exorcism. That's a blessed crucifix, so it has that double double kind of an impact on whatever spirit might be tormenting the individual, might be possessing that individual. But that is true for all sacramentals. It's just that the sign of the cross, and I'm using the sign that we make, right, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as well as the image of that cross, which is a sign, it's a symbol of the reality, has that certain kind of impact as well, but differently than the blessing. So if you have crucifixes in your house and have not been blessed, get them blessed. Now, with regard to your St. Benedict crucifix, the St. Benedict medal has a power of its own, but the power has to be imparted by way of the blessing that is in accordance with that particular medal that is on that cross. So there is a special prayer that a priest prays and a special blessing that he gives to that medal that carries also with it a great power to dispel the powers of darkness. So I would for surely get that crucifix blessed with the Saint Benedict blessing. Have you done that?
I don't remember. So I'm definitely, I mean, I can't hardly do it twice. I feel like I might not have. So thank you for telling me that. I might have just thought he just needed the cross and not the blessing. So
no, you need the blessing.
Okay, thank you. Because I have three on every doorway of our house. I have it hanging above, so I'm going to take them down and find a priest that can do that blessing. Thank you.
Yes, and just a little thank. You're welcome. Here's a little tip for you: print out that blessing. It's readily accessible online. Print it out just in the event that the priest doesn't have it. You can say, "Here, Father, would you please bless my Saint Benedict medals with the Saint Benedict blessing?" And here it is. You'll make his job easier, and he'll appreciate it. Oh my goodness, we're at the end of the program. I don't know how that happened today. Well, it happened because we had so many lovely callers and you were with us. So I'm delighted to spend this time with you Monday through Friday right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Sign up for our Grace Lines. Also, join me in Upper Marlboro, Maryland on October 3rd and 4th at St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church. And please check out our Benedicta Institute. We've got a course that's coming up starting on October the 6th. Sign up for it. It is going to be great toward a Catholic understanding of woman, and a book study starting on that same day with Sue Brinkman. The Virtue of Hope is what that book is all about. Check it all out at womenofgrace.com. Until we're together again, God bless you now. Bye-bye.